evening. I'm Jessica Marpy, your moderator for tonight's telephone town hall. I'd like to welcome everyone to this live event and thank you for taking the time to join us this evening. Tonight, Senator Vincent Hughes of the 7th Senatorial District will take your calls as he, along with experts, discusses voting and the SAVE Act. Senator Hughes will be joined by Philadelphia City Commissioner Omar Sabir, Montgomery County Commissioner and Chair of the Board of Elections, Neil Makija, and lastly, the President and Founder of the Transformative Justice Coalition, Barbara Arnwine. If you have a question and would like to join the conversation tonight, press star 3. Again, press star 3 if you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of our guests and would like to join the conversation. And now, without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thanks, Jessica. Good evening, everybody. This is Senator Hughes. Welcome to this telephone town hall for my friends and neighbors within the 7th Senatorial District. I'd like to thank everyone who's taking time out of their schedule to participate on this call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. Remember, for all of those of you who have participated in our telephone town hall, all of you, press star 3 if you have a question that you want to ask. Press star 3 if you have a question that you want to ask. Tonight's conversation is about the attack on our right to vote. It is live. It is real. It is growing like a virus all over the country, from state to state. Fortunately, we have very good people in place in Pennsylvania to make sure that it does not expand. This attack on our right to vote does not expand in Pennsylvania. Fortunately, we have very good people here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to kind of protect against that. But there are folks in Washington, D.C., as you can imagine, who want to deny people the right to vote, the access to the ballot, their right to vote, our right to vote. And what we wanted to do is to bring on 3 experts from a local and a statewide level and a national, from a local and a national level, to make sure that we're fully engaged at the local level to doing everything that we need to do, because, you know, we have an election in about 6 weeks' time, 5 to 6 weeks' time. We want to make sure that folks are geared up and ready to participate in that election. But we also want to make sure that we have a conversation about this proposal in Washington in the federal government called the SAVE Act, which is really a straight-out assault on the right to vote. So, folks, you know, listen clearly, all right, pay close attention. Again, if you want to ask a question, press star 3, press star 3 if you want to ask a question. We'll do our best to get everyone who has a question to ask. We'll try to get everyone in the conversation this evening. But also, make sure you're writing down websites and phone numbers so that you have a mission, you have a responsibility once you leave this conversation, once you hear this information, to go act, to take action. All of you who are involved in this telephone town hall, you've already stepped up in a way just by being involved and showing your leadership skills, showing your willingness to serve and be part of trying to protect our right to vote, but also engage and make sure life is better for ourselves, our families, and our neighbors. We want to make sure you utilize this great information that's coming your way so that you can expand it, grow it, spread it as far and wide. So make sure you have your pens and your papers, and I guess that's not how old school I am, your little notepads and all that other kind of stuff, so you can jot it down and then start shooting that information out to everybody. Our first guest, remember folks, press star 3, is the chair of the Philadelphia City Commissioners, Chairman Omar Sabir. Now, folks, you've heard Chairman Sabir before on our telephone town hall. He's always, always on the case, always pointing towards those things that we need to do make sure that folks are participating in elections. He and the Philadelphia City Commissioners did an outstanding job over the last several years and opened up 10 satellite voting centers. And he'll correct me on that if I'm naming them wrong. Voting centers all across the city of Philadelphia, and just making voting a neighborhood kind of thing. And you can get your information and do everything that you have to do beforehand. And so, Chairman Sabir, if you'd say hi to the folks on the telephone town hall and give us 1 or 2 minutes of an opening statement, sir.
Hello. How's everybody doing? I'm so excited to be here. The seminar left one critical part of my title, and I always never want to keep this, is that I worked 6 years as a staff. So it's always an honor to be on one of these town halls. You know, I saw I'm having all these international guests, everybody on it, so it's always an honor to be here. And I just want everyone just to remember, the more you vote, the more you get. The more you vote, the more you get. I mean, the election system is tight. It's put together. The elections have always been simple, safe, and secure like they have always been. And we just want you to use it. So everyone who's listening on this phone call right now, you are deputized, commissioners, you are deputized, ambassadors for democracy. And if everyone's listening to this phone call, I want you to bring at least 10 people to vote on Tuesday, May the 19th.
Mr. Chairman, make sure you get, remember, I told you, get that website out there, partner. What you got for the website, sir?
Vote.phila.gov, vote. VOTE.phila.gov, vote. VOTE.phila.gov, or 215-686-VOTE, 215-686-VOTE.
There you go. That's Chairman Omar Sabir, the chair of the Philadelphia City Commission, joining us from my good friends and constituents in Montgomery County, Montgomery County Commissioner Neil Makija. He's also the chair of the Board of Elections. Commissioner Makija, welcome to the telephone town hall of our constituents in the 7th Senatorial District. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great. Thank you, Senator, for having me on, and thank you to the whole group for being here for all of our constituents.
What is Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, I'll just tell you briefly, one, thank you for fighting the good fight in Harrisburg. As you said, it's never been more important. There is an attack on the right to vote across the board. I know this well. I taught election law for 7 years at the University of Pennsylvania. This is the reason that I decided to run for county commissioner, although we do a lot of things from the roads and bridges and the criminal justice system, our voter services. It's a team of 30 people. They help 600,000 eligible voters in Montgomery County access the ballot as easy as possible. We've taken a number of steps at the local level. Philly's done a similar thing under Chairman Sabir, everything from expanding drop boxes, which are really important because they mean that we get the ballots directly, and if there's a delay in the post office or the USPS, there's not a problem if you use the Dropbox. We've also expanded voting in person, mail-in voting in person at different magistrate judge locations. And we've got this voter van, which shows up on senior centers and college campuses that you can actually request if you've got events. We're showing up in the community, letting people know that their right to vote is something to celebrate. And we shouldn't be fearing what could happen to our election process. So we'll talk more about it, but if you want to get the best information from Montgomery County, the easy URL is MontcoPAVotes.gov. That's Montco, M-O-N-T-C-O-P-A, votes.gov. And you'll have everything on there from the upcoming election, how to request your mail-in ballot. Do it soon. We're going to send them out pretty soon, probably in the next week or two. But if you request it now, you'll be among the first to get it. And it's really easy. You just fill out a form online. But looking forward to the conversation, and thank you again for bringing us all together.
Thank you, Commissioner Makija. Commissioner, I'm going to ask you a question before I go to our third guest. I'm going to ask a question real quick just to keep some of the conversations about on the local level and what we need to do to make sure we're implementing the process quickly. The timing for the president has publicly assaulted vote by mail. I mean, he's just come out hard on vote by mail. And please start, and then Commissioner Sabir, you follow up. Tell us about your process in Montco for a vote by mail, when that starts, and why you feel comfortable with it, and why you would encourage folks to utilize vote by mail. And then Commissioner Sabarin will come to you as well with the same question.
Absolutely. So look, vote by mail is fantastic for a lot of different reasons. And remember, this law was passed in Pennsylvania with the support of Republicans. And the president has made it a partisan issue, but it shouldn't be, because all it does is make it easier for you who, if you're like me on a Tuesday and you've got to pick up your kid and make dinner and all the things that we do with a young family, like sometimes it's hard just to do anything other than your daily life. And vote by mail makes it easier for you to cast your ballot when you have the time and send it in. So the process for us is we get the ballots out as soon as the Supreme Court certifies who is on the ballot. There's a whole process happening now of people petitioning to be candidates. Some of them don't meet the qualifications, so they don't end up on the ballot. But once that's settled, we get our ballots ready. We send out the first batch, which goes to everyone who requested a ballot prior to that time. So if you requested, you're probably one of about 80, 90,000 people right now that's going to be in the first batch. And you can still keep requesting your ballot until closer to the election, although I want to tell everyone, the sooner you request it, the better, because you never want to put it back in the mail too late, because there is a requirement in Pennsylvania that we've got to receive the ballot by election day at 8 p.m. So if you send in your ballot in the USPS the day before the election and it doesn't get to us until after, we cannot count it. So it's very important that you either send in your ballot early or drop it off to a drop box. The drop boxes are open until 8 p.m. on election day. And one point on security, just to really let people know, there's a lot of, you know, drummed up concern over mail-in ballots, but it's incredibly secure. We know who we're sending the ballot. We've got barcodes on every single envelope. We track when they're sent out, when they come back in. Nobody's voting twice. And of course, after every election, we conduct audits. The voter file is public in terms of who voted and who didn't. So if there was ever a real issue, it would be caught very easily. And it's incredibly rare to see issues. In fact, it's, you know, a small, less than one hand out of millions of voters. So it's a secure way to vote. It's an easy way to vote. And we're going to continue to make sure it's accessible for every resident that we have in Montgomery County.
That's our commissioner, Montgomery County Commissioner Neil McKeesey. Commissioner Sabir, respond to that as well, if you would, please.
Sure. I mean, again, you know, vote by mail, I mean, that was in Pennsylvania. It was a whole Republican bill. I mean, Republicans worked and lobbied for this for years and years and years. And Governor Tom Wolf sort of signed it into law, Act 77, which took out all the issues, took away all of the cumbersome problems in regards with absentee voting. So there's no excuse. So anybody can vote by mail, and the president, he votes by mail, his wife votes by mail. You know, so it's safe, it's secure, and as the chairman said, you know, every vote has a barcode on it, and the people that are who are facilitating counting up the ballots and doing the voting tabulation, they're specialized, trained people. We're not just pulling people off the streets just to, you know, process your vote. They have specialized training. We do logic and accuracy tests on our equipment. And again, we do audits, and every vote has a receipt because it's all paper. So even when you vote in the machines, every vote in Pennsylvania has a verifiable paper trail. So that means that there's a receipt for everyone who votes in Pennsylvania. We do routine audits. We do it all year long. And again, even nonpartisan organizations, they do evaluations as well. So this is something that you need to know, that your vote has always been, it's always been a simple process, safe process, and secure process. And we want you to use it. You know, you can vote. Again, once the ballots get cleared, we'll mail out the first batch of ballots to you, but then you also can use those satellite election offices. You can walk in, request your mail-in ballot, you'll print it out, and then you'll be able to fill it out, You'll have a live staff person there to sort of look and see whether or not you signed it, or if you have any questions, that can walk you through the process so it will lower the risk of your ballot being rejected by not signing it, not paying it, or not fitting to the secrecy envelope. So if you have live people there, here in Philadelphia and Marco and Delco, I mean, we are here to serve as you, but we want you to use the system. That's the only problem what I'm seeing is that people are not using the system. And in an election like this, you may have 30%, maybe 40%, three out of four voters come out, three or four voters out of 10 actually voting. And so we want you to use the process. Again, it's there, it's together. And any of the changes that the president's talking about is not going to affect the May 19th primary. You're going to vote the same exact way how you've been voting. I know some of your constituents been afraid, you know, thinking like you got to bring birth certificates, things like that. Even hearing that ICE is going to be at the polling locations. All these things are not going to happen. Again, we are going to assure that voting is simple, safe, and secure. And, you know, you're going to have the access that you need and that you deserve. So we are here to serve you. And again, vote by mail. You know, it's a beautiful process. And again, the deadline, to be clear on that deadline, is May the 12th at 5 p.m. Sharp. Now, that's the technical deadline, but the intelligent deadline is to apply right now. If you know that you want to vote by mail, please apply right now. Because if you wait until May the 12th, it's probably not going to be enough time for us to mail you the ballot and then mail it back to you. So we highly encourage you to do it now. So as you know that you want to vote by mail, just go to our website, go to the website. You can apply. You can come to any one of the local county board of elections, and you can apply for your vote by mail ballot. Do it as soon as possible and return as soon as possible, because on May the 19th at 8 p.m. sharp, we have to have that ballot in our hand. We do not accept postmarks. People are still sending back their ballots later thinking you can accept postmarks. No, by 8 p.m. sharp, we have to have that ballot on May the 19th in our possession.
That is, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to get ready to turn this over to Barbara, but let me just ask this question. The elections in many respects are localized, but they're also overseen, if you will, by the Secretary of State of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and that's Secretary Al Schmidt, who's our Roxborough guy. We like to say he's from the great state of Roxborough, okay? Commissioner McKeeja, Commissioner Sabir, how has the relationship been with working with the Secretary Schmidt, Al Schmidt?
From my perspective, of course, it's like having a home field advantage. I mean, he's my constituent, right? He lives in Philadelphia, but he also served as a commissioner for the Philadelphia Election Board, and he also served as the CEO of Committee of 70. So, you know, I was our friend, and I was actually probably the first or one of the first Secretary of State that actually was an election administrator. So this process, mm-hmm. You know, all the policies that are in place is definitely thought of with the election administrator in mind when he's coming up with policies.
I'll add the same. Look, Secretary Schmidt has really made an effort to get around the entire Commonwealth. His department has provided amazing advice for us as we tackle different challenges. We have certain election vendors that weren't doing a great job, and we actually hired a whole different group, and actually one of the same ones that Philly uses to print out our ballots, and we've had a much better time now ever since getting our ballots out early, and haven't had any major issues. Every year you'll see something happen around the Commonwealth with the county, and thankfully we've avoided that because the Secretary and his team have really put together a good set of best practices that they're sharing with counties around the Commonwealth. So they're doing a great job. And we also hired a great member of their team. Our Deputy COO, Mira Baleson, came from the Department of State. Thank him for having her, because now she's overseeing our voting in Montgomery County, and it's really helped us step up our access work and all the things that we care about.
That's great news. Now as we digest this safe and secure system of voting here in Philadelphia and Montgomery County and across Pennsylvania, really, there's few issues across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania led by our Secretary Al Schmidt, looming large in Washington, D.C., is a straight-up assault on our democracy coming from the White House, and that is called the SAVE Act. And our expert, who's talked with us on numerous occasions over the years, nationally recognized expert Barbara Arnwine, the founder and CEO of the Transformative Justice Coalition, is joining us right now to educate us on the SAVE Act and where it stands, the substance of it, and what we need to be thinking about and how we need to organize ourselves to stop this from coming into law. And Barbara, as I bring you into the conversation, I just got to say, looking from the long lens on this effort to secure the right to vote and to where we are right now, hearing Commissioner Makhija and Chairman Sabir leading this effort in these two extremely large counties in Pennsylvania. You know, when you have that long lens, Barbara, it's there's a lot of accomplishments that's been made over the years, and we're safe. We're much safer with these two gentlemen in position. However, these knuckleheads in Washington are coming for the throat of democracy. And please let the folks on this line know exactly what's going on, Barbara.
Well, thank you so much, Senator Hugh, for having this town hall. Thank you, everyone who's spoken, Commissioner Sabir, all of the speakers who are out there protecting your vote, who are encouraging people to vote. This, what I want to establish at the outset, everybody, is that the goal of what we call the anti-democracy forces is what's called attrition. Their goal is to shrink and reduce the electorate. They want fewer people voting. They only want their people who they like to vote. So their attack is upon people of color voters, young voters, women voters. And people say, women voters, amen, Barbara. Isn't there something called the 19th Amendment? Yes. But if you've been following MAGA, there's a whole sector of MAGA that believes that women should not vote and have been preaching even this Easter in pulpit about women not voting. So they think women vote too, quote, liberal, or that they vote for reproductive rights and they just don't agree with those agendas. That's part of the culture war. But it's worse than that because it's really, you know, regulating people's freedom and their constitutional rights and attempt to reverse all of that. So you have those people who are out here coming up with several lines of attack. I will talk today about the court attacks because they're quite severe and very important, but I will talk about what's happening with the federal legislature. And it's still Congress, what's going on in the House and the Senate. And I will, if there's time, just quickly talk about this purported executive order that's DOA. It's dead on arrival. The president has no constitutional power to issue it. Doesn't stop him from issuing it. He's just mad that he can't get the SAVE Act passed. So let's talk about what is the SAVE Act. The most important thing I want everyone listening tonight to know is that he has not yet passed. It was passed in the House, but it can't become law until it passes the Senate. That is the identical bill, that there's a reconciliation, and already the Senate bill is different than the House bill. And it has to, once it's reconciled, both chambers voted that out, then it has to be signed into law by the president, right? Well, the reality is that the Senate cannot figure out a road, a pathway to pass this bill because there's so much opposition to it. And when I tell you about it, you're going to realize why there's so much opposition, and I want you to become part of that opposition. So I'm going to talk about it. First of all, the bill does two really vicious things. It attacks voter registration, the way in which we register to vote, and it attacks our how we vote at the polls. Then who can vote at the polls themselves, even if they are registered. So I want to talk about how that happens. First of all, the vote, it requires that in order to register to vote, here's the new process for anybody who's not registered or needs to re-register to vote. And remember, 40 million Americans move, you know, every 5 years. Lots of, you know, movement going on in the United States, so there's always re-registration going on. So the first column, it says that if you want to register to vote, that you must show up personally to a election official's office, and you must provide either your passport or you must provide your birth certificate in order to prove your citizenship, that you are a legitimate, quote, American citizen. So, here's the problem. 21 million Americans don't have either one of these documents readily available. If you've ever tried to get a birth certificate, you know it's not an easy process. You guys had to get a first... Go ahead, Senator.
No, I'm disagreeing. I'm disagreeing, Barb.
Yes, but I've had to get birth certificates for several family members. It is not easy. It's not free. You got to pay for it. The fastest way, of course, is to go down to the deed of records and try to get it yourself. How many people got time to do that? I've, of course, had to apply, you know, to help people who are out of state because so many people move, and it's just not easy, and it's not inexpensive. Depending on what state you're in, it's, everybody charges you money, so it's kind of like a poll tax. The other problem is only 50% of all Americans have a passport. I ask the audience right now, what percentage of Black Americans have a passport? Think about it. What's the percent? Is it 50? Is it 40? What is the percent? It turns out that only 34% of all African Americans have what's called a valid passport. I said 34%. That means 66%. Of all African Americans have no passport, no valid passport. 40% of all Southerners have no valid passport. This is a real problem, not to mention the Black elders and other people of color elders who were born outside of hospitals or whose top household burned down, which is a common problem, or like my hospital where I was born no longer exists. It's gone. It's gone. So, you know, hopefully, you know, people, you know, fortunately my mom kept my birth certificate, but Lord have mercy. I mean, so many people have told me their anguish at trying to get their birth certificates when they have been destroyed by natural disasters, the hospital records, et cetera. So this isn't an easy task. And so I don't want people to think that this is easy to do. Remember, I said that you personally have to appear. What does that mean? Most Americans right now, they register through the Department of Motor Vehicles, or most of us registered through third-party registration groups, the NAACP, the League of Women Voters, you know, all of these great groups that are out there saying, you know, sign up, register now, come to our events. We're going to have registries at those events. That would not be acceptable any longer. This is a deliberate attempt to destroy, to absolutely eradicate third-party voter registration. And even worse than that, folks, this new law says that if you make the mistake of registering the wrong person, even if you work for the state government, if you make the mistake and you register somebody or you accept the document and you didn't look at it right or whatever and it's wrong, that if you make a mistake, that you can be prosecuted criminally. And anybody can bring a complaint against you. They don't have to see it. They can just say they alleged that you did it. Folks, this is evil. The other problem, so that's the voter registration side of it, is, you know, as ugly as it can be. The second part is the voting. So you show up at the polls, okay? You say, I know I'm registered. I've been registered. I've been voting at this polling place for 50 years. I'm ready to put my vote on. I voted here last year. I voted, last general election. I know I'm good. You show up. And under this law, you would have to have something really wicked, and that's called a voter ID that exactly matches your birth certificate. The exact match laws that exist in the United States right now are usually signature laws. But this would be an exact match to your birth certificate or your passport name. Who's in the line of sight? Anybody who has changed their name. You were born James K. Smith, and you decided that you're going to be Mpengelezi Wauzi, and you changed your name. Your ID is not going to match your birth certificate. If you are a married woman and you took on your husband's surname, which 69 million women have done in the United States, if you show up to vote and your surname does not match your birthday, then you have to, sign at most the best law, that best quote amendment that's out there to say that would allow you to at least sign what's called an affidavit. But think about this. If you ever done affidavit voting, that doesn't mean it gets counted, folks. The other problem with affidavit voting, I mean, see, you know, it's like a provisional ballot. It doesn't get counted. It doesn't automatically get counted. The other problem is that if you're a woman, I mean, here you are standing next to your husband. He's just walking by. And you're having to sit there and fill out a form attesting on the perjury that you are, you know, who you say you are. I mean, it's really oppressive. It's ugly. It's discriminatory. It's unnecessary. It's evil. So that's, you know, the reason why it makes, you know, voting at the polls. And of course, we're not silly folks. We know that they're after transgender people. That's who they're after here. They want to make it hard for those who are also transgender to vote. So this is just bad at so many levels. And I always think, Senator Hughes, about all those people who came through Ellis Island and had to change their name.
Yeah.
All these people. Yeah. All these people, they've Americanized their name. Come on, you know, folks, it's just so anti-American at its core. So that's just the two things. I mean, that's just a couple of information, and I can answer, you know, a lot more about to say that. But I want people to understand that we need to on these front lines. We have stopped this bill from passing in the Senate. But they won't stop because your president won't stop. He wants this bill. He wants to get rid of at least 5 to 10% of the electorate. So so that they can hopefully hold on to the house. I'm just saying what, you know, what his motivations are. And people, you can, I want you to write this number down, because if you're not calling this number frequently and saying vote no on the SAVE Act, then we need to start doing so now. The Senate is on recess until the 13th, but you can call them now and get the, you know, because they count these, you know, calls every day, what you, how many people call and say this or that. So you want to call 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. That is the Senate Hot Congressional Switchboard. It's also good for, you know, reaching House members. You can, you know, they're very helpful. Don't worry about this. You all have to say, oh, I know their names. So you don't even have to worry about that. Just call and say, I'm from the state of Pennsylvania, and they're going to say, what area code are you on? I mean, what, yeah, what's your, you know, zip code? And you can just give them your zip code, and that's it. And they will say, oh, yes, right. And they'll connect you. There are already suggestions from the state of Pennsylvania. They know you got two senators. They're going to connect you to both of them. So that's what you do. And I just want to really encourage people, you know, be on the front line of this struggle, because it's wicked what they're trying to do. It's un-American. And so I'm going to stop there on the SAVE Act. And if you want me to, Senator, at some point, I can talk about the quote executive order.
Well, we're going to start taking questions, Barbara, but I thank you very much. The phone number that Barbara asked everyone to hold on to and to utilize to reach every member of the any member of the U.S. Senate is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. And as Barbara indicated, they'll connect you to your congressional representative as well. Barbara, for your purposes, what is your website so that if people wanted to just track the work that you are doing with the Transformative Justice Coalition, and I know you have analysis and commentary there about the SAVE Act. What is your website?
Yes. We are tjcoalition.org. tjcoalition.org is our website. There's a lot of good ones out there. You know, ACLU, Brennan Center, the Leadership Conference, LDF, Lawyers Committee, we all are tracking this bill. We're all, you know, commenting on it. And we're also coming out in mass, PJC, Public Citizens, DFAD. We're coming out in mass on July 17th through the 19th for the John Lewis Good Trouble Weekend Election. And we need you on those front lines. We'll be in Philly. We'll be all over the country, making sure that we fight back against this act and fight back against these anti-democracy forces by collectivizing our strength and getting out there and registering people to vote, because this bill's going to fail. There's no way they're going to pass it. There's just no legal way they can pass this bill. It's just too bad. It's messed up, but it's critical for you to help us, because they're going to keep coming at us. And that's why it's so important for us to get out there and to vote and register people while we can and get those people to vote and make sure that we, the people, control this government.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate you. Jessica, let's try to get to some of these questions, since we got a bunch. Let's try to get to some of these questions.
First up, we have Adrian. Adrian, you're live.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for inviting me. Senator Hughes, good to hear your voice again, and Mr. Sevier. I have an answer, a big answer, because I have a lot of constituents who keep asking, what can we do to get everybody involved and get out so they'll know exactly what we are facing with this election that's coming and the one in November?
Well, I would say this, and I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Sevier, but it, first off, get everybody to make that call to the website to shut down the SAVE Act. 202-224-3121 is the switchboard number. But I know both of our commissioners, and since you're a Philly caller, both of our commissioners will love to, we'll start with Commissioner Sevier, Chairman Sevier, will be more than willing to come out to your neighborhood and talk to communities and organizations and religious organizations, anyone, about the process of voting and, of course, how to organize to deal with legislation like the SAVE Act. Commissioner Sevier, Chairman Sevier, you want to start with that?
Sure. I mean, you know, the first thing, you know, of course, I mean, you know, we'll come out and do the technical thing, but I think right now, finally, right, it's like people just don't want to vote no more, right? And we have leaders in the community, we have sort of made voting optional. My father got arrested, so every election day he would call us at 9:30 every election day. And the committee person or the judge of elections would tell him who in the family already voted. So it was that accountability level. And you don't think that you have power, but I'm sitting here to tell you that you have power. We have made voting optional, like, okay, my grandson or my nephew or my son, they don't vote, or my daughter don't vote. What you mean? Because if only 3 out of 10 people are voting, right now people are saying, a lot of those people coming up with all these crazy things, saying, well, you know, that's the reason why people don't vote. They don't like them. No, all that kind of stuff. No, we have to come out in record numbers. And then when we come out in record numbers, that ballot behavior is going to dictate these policies. Ballot behavior has always dictated policies. And when America does not vote, Americans come up short. And that's why we always say the more you vote, the more you get. That's the first thing. You know, I want to see a record turnout on May the 19th. And then the other thing is, again, you can call that number, that 202 number, 224-3121. Call your senators, call them, let them know. And if you want to do any protests, any rallies, I mean, we'll do that. But the main thing is, just get people out to vote. And whatever plan that is, we'll come use our satellite election offices, and we can get together, mobilize polls, right? We can get transportation for people to vote. You know, we visit the schools, we don't whatever it is we need, but we have to mobilize and tell people to vote. And then those younger voters, you have to tell them who to vote for. Because if you don't tell them who to vote for, they're not going to vote. So tell them who to vote for as a leader in your family, a leader in your community, and let's make sure they do it.
And you make your own decisions, but for younger people, as is the case with most things, they need a little bit of direction, a little bit of guidance on what's voting in their best interest. Commissioner McKeesia, MyCallPAVotes.gov, MyCallPAVotes.gov, is that the way to get a hold of you or any of the other commissioners to come out to local communities in MyCall about voting?
That's the best way, and you can always email me. I'll just put out my email, neil@montgomerycountypa.gov. That is directly to me. If you want a request, let's say you're at a college campus or a senior center or anywhere where you want the voter van to show up, we make it easy for people to register, to apply for the mail-in, to submit it on the spot. We'll come to you if there's a community event, a festival. We'll be there. So just feel free to email me directly or go to MoncoPAVotes.gov for all the information you need to register to vote.
That's good stuff. And Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Yolanda. Yolanda, you're live.
Good evening. Thank you, Senator.
Hey.
Good evening,
Mr.
Beer and everyone else on the line. My question is this. I have voted since I was age eligible, and I am registered in the registration book when I go to vote. However, I was remarried, so my name will not match, even though I have Social Security cards, which validated, and also my voter registration card has my new name on it. What adversities am I going to be facing when I go to the polls?
Commissioner Sevier, you want to start there?
Sure. So everything is going to be exactly the same when you go vote on May the 19th. The other way you've been voting, for the last 20 years, however long you've been voting, it's the way you can vote the way you normally been voting. A lot of this noise is designed to cause confusion and to get, like, water sales reduced to electric, to get people to say, you know what, I don't know, do I got to bring birth certificate? You don't got to bring a birth certificate. You don't got to bring no birth city card. You don't have to bring no ID unless you're a first-time voter. But outside of that, I mean, you can vote the same as how you've been voting. And that's what, you know, I need y'all to be ambassadors to really remind people, hey, man, it's the way how we've been voting. It's the way how we've been people serving as coworkers. They're your neighbors. They're your friends. They're your soccer coaches. They're your basketball coaches. They're people in the community that you know, to sort of oversee these elections. And that's what we need right now. We need that positive, strong voice to stand up, talk to our family and friends, and motivate them to participate in this process.
Barbara, you wanted to also add something to that?
Yes, Commissioner Sevier said it. What I talked about is what they're trying to do. And thank God, you know, this is not the law of the land right now. What you've done, ma'am, is what you want to keep doing. But also, I'm asking people to step up in new ways, too, because we're going to put out for October the 1st through November 3rd, what we call daily actions, something every single American can do to make sure that folks know how to vote, know where to go, know what to do. It's going to be in your everyday. There's going to be something that you can do. Call, you know, who you can call, what you can, you don't even have to leave your house for some of it. You know, how you can get people involved, because we want to make sure that nothing, no leaf goes unturned, no page is not, no flip. We want every single person to understand that you can make the biggest difference. Commissioner Sevier said bring 10 to the polls. We want you to call 5 people, make sure they know which poll to go to. So we're going to have all this great information out there and around the country every day for 33 days. We're going to do these actions in common so that we're reaching scores, millions and millions and millions of voters at one time. So become part of this. You know, go to that tjcoalition.org website and sign up and become part of the mobilizations that we're going to be doing, because when you got new threats, new attacks, you got to have new answers, new counteroffensives, new ways of winning.
That's right. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Chairman Sevier. Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Carl. Carl, you're live.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I would like to have Commissioner Sevier talk about individuals who go to vote and their name cannot be found on the roll, the poll book, or any of the supplemental pages, but this is where they normally vote. So I do know that these people can still vote using a provisional ballot. Can he speak to that process? Thank you.
Sure. Sure. Thank you, Carl. And, you know, what people should do before they vote is, that's a cool feature on our website at vote.color.gov, and you can access this on your smartphone. If you can access Facebook, you can click on find your polling location. You put your name in there, you put your address in there, and it tells you your exact polling location. Now, number one reason why somebody would not be in the polling book is simply because they went to the wrong polling location, believe it or not. You know, in our polling locations, they don't change. I mean, it's like almost like a 99% chance that you're going to vote in the same place. So for some reason, people typically just go to the wrong place, or if there are multiple divisions in one place, they'll go to the wrong division, and they might go to the first division and just say, hey, you know, I'm outside the books, and then you might not be inside the books. So what we ask you to do is, before you leave, you can go to our website at vote.fuller.gov, and then you can type your name and your address there, or you can simply give us a call to say, hey, Commissioner, you know, which way do I, you know, where do I go vote at? Okay, then we'll let you know who to vote. And then we also mail out a voter ID card. A lot of people throw these cards in the trash, but we do mail them out to you, and it tells you where you're supposed to vote at You know, without every election. So maybe about, you know, a week or so before election, just make sure that you look for that. It's want the official election mail on it. I just want to tell you where you are supposed to vote at. And again, if there is an issue, you know, where you're not inside the book, doesn't mean you're registered. Again, just do the provisional ballot, and we sort of sort that out at the end. But your vote will be counted, even if you vote provisionally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Lisa from Winfield. Lisa, you're live.
Hi, good evening, everybody. So my question is, I need to know how I verify that I'm still going to get a mail ballot. I received an email, and it said for me to go through the email and fill out what I needed to make sure that I would still be, that I was going to receive it. So I did that. I followed the prompt, and then it told me to put my driver's ID number, and I did that. And once I did that, it told me that I entered an incorrect number and that I would not be receiving a ballot. I entered the right number. I know I did. So I don't know if that was fraudulent or what the case was, but I just want to find out if I will be receiving a ballot or if I need to go in person. I just want to make sure that I have my right to vote.
Amen.
That's important.
Amen.
That's very important because there's a lot of deception going on. Commissioner McKeesia, you go first, and then Commissioner Zabir, please follow up. And then Barbara, I know you have something you want to add to this conversation.
So I'll just say it first. You can always go online and check the status of your ballot, your mail-in ballot application, whether or not it's been received and whether or not it's been sent with you. So there's a state form you can go to. In Monco, it's moncopavotes.gov. Chairman Sabir, if you want to, do you want to say where they check it in Philly?
Sure. You want to go to vote, vote.philla.gov, vote.philla.gov.
Right. So on these sites, it'll tell you whether we received it, whether it's going out. But let's say there's a problem, or let's say you never get your ballot and you were supposed to. One, right now they haven't gone out yet. So you're not too late. And you can always request another one. And I think in Philly, you've got a number of places you can go. Same in Montgomery County at a location where you can request a ballot, a mail-in ballot on the spot. For us, it's Norristown, open all the time, essentially. And you can find those hours on our websites as well. But it's not too early, so it's very good that you're checking now because they haven't been sent yet, but they will be soon. So you can check the status of your ballot online anytime. And is there anything you want to add, Chairman Sabir?
Let me just interrupt you because it sounds like, and this is what I'm really concerned about, emails are going out from some source right now, all right, to voters about their voting information. Are either one of your offices sending out information right now about confirming your voting information?
So one of the things that happens, and this is a little bit of the complexity, when people apply, the Department of State actually does send certain emails that say that your application has been received or even when your ballot's received. So that's done through a Department of State process. We do separately send out mass emails not connected to the individual ballots, but most of this is run from the Department of State. So if you got the email from DOS, that should be legit. And Chairman Sabir, you can probably have the same for Philly.
Yeah. So if there's any pieces of mail or anything that's going to come from us, it's going to say Philadelphia City Commissioners on it. Now, there are a lot of organizations, third-party organizations that may send out stuff, but it's not official. Again, it will come from either the Department of State or it come from the actual county. So if it doesn't have either the Department of State of Pennsylvania or the County of Philadelphia or the County of Monco, then know that it's like a third-party organization that and that information may not be accurate. They might be telling you to return your ballot or you should seize it, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, just feel free just to call us. Any type of note that you get, just call our offices and we'll sort of clarify, you know, everything, you know, up for you. Now, we might send out a notice, you know, for additional information or something like that. But again, it would have, you know, official mail from the Philadelphia County Board of Elections. And it will have a contact number for you to call back to respond to get some information on.
Yeah, it's for everyone. Be very careful about emails that are going out right now, right this second. Okay, I'm not talking about in a couple weeks or anything like that when the ballots have been certified and all of that, as Commissioner McKee said, by the state Supreme Court and blah, 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 blah. All right, be very careful and very cautious about emails going out right now to get you to authenticate certain information. All
right?
Right. Be very careful about that. All right? That is not necessarily, at this moment, where we are today, okay, that is not necessarily what is happening by the appropriate sources, the commissioner's office in Montgomery County, the commissioner's office in Philadelphia, the Secretary of State at the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's not necessarily a practice that is happening right now. Folks are trying to get folks to cause confusion, and as Barbara Armwine talked about, the issue of attrition, getting folks to sit, just throw up their hands and say, I'm not going to be involved.
Right.
I'm not going to get involved in any of this. Barbara, is there a comment that you want to make to make sure that people are cautious about this kind of activity?
Yes, you know, we've seen it before in parts of Pennsylvania. We've seen what we call, you know, voter intimidation tactics and what we call deceptive practices. And that is where people receive these bizarre flyers or, you know, emails, texts, whatever. You know, if it doesn't sound like people, if it's saying like they did in Florida and Georgia and other places, North Carolina, where they were telling, Michigan, where they were telling people to vote on Wednesdays, not Tuesdays, where they were sending out the wrong polling addresses purposefully to confuse voters. If it doesn't sound right, if they say, you know, we're going to be at the polls and we're going to be checking you out to make sure you're good, or when you know that we got, you know, we're gonna make sure that you paid your child support or your traffic tickets, whatever. If you see something that just sounds wrong, and you know it just doesn't sound right, you want to not only call Commissioner Sevier, but please call the Election Protection Hotline, the 866 Our Vote Hotline too, because we can help to tell you what that is, but more importantly, then we can also call Commissioner Sevier too and say, you know, this is a problem, and we have been able to get, you know, all kinds of things done. We've been able to track these groups down, we've been able to put them in jail, we've been able to do all kinds of stuff. So it is important that if you see something that you know is a deceptive practice that just doesn't sound right, verify it. Let us know, and we will get on top of it ASAP.
All right, folks, we're way past our allotted time, and there are tons of good questions. I'm just going to ask, this will not be our last conversation about voting, all right? This will not be our last conversation about voting before the May 19th election and, of course, throughout the course of the year. Commissioner McKeesia, close us out with a one-minute comment about what it is that you want people in your neck of the woods and across the 7th District to understand about voting right now. What is that thing that you want folks to remember, and, of course, that website as well?
Sure. Thank you, Senator, again, for bringing us together. Look, I really appreciated all the questions and the fact that we have so many engaged citizens. I think what's important is that we are seeing people wake up to what's happening with the SAVE Act and all the dangers that have been outlined. And in the last local election, both in Philly and Montgomery County, we saw historic turnout. And in Monco, we usually have 200,000 voters in the local elections like last November. We had 310,000. So people are absolutely exercising their right to vote. There are some people who maybe don't like that and want to make it harder. But it's absolutely the case that we have a number of checks in place in the courts where if these bills are going to attempt to be passed, we're going to fight to protect everyone's right to vote. Everyone on this call is going to do the work to make sure that you can access the ballot. So please make sure you do. Make sure the people that you work with, that you go to school with, your family members, your friends, neighbors, all have access to the same information you just got on this phone call so that we can all exercise our right to vote in this very important election, which is going to be very important for all sorts of issues, both in Harrisburg and in D.C. Just know that, you know, we as your leaders are going to keep making it easy for you to exercise your rights, and you can help us in your community by making sure everyone has the same information you just got.
What's that website, Neil?
So in Monco, MoncoPAVotes.gov, everything's on there. And if you ever need anything personally as your commissioner or even the Philly people, if you need something from the Monco Neil, it's Neil, N-E-I-L, at MontgomeryCountyPA.gov. Always here.
Commissioner Sabir, what's that last comment you want everybody to know? Except you got to say something different than the more you vote, the more you get. What is that last comment you want people to know, man?
Sure, I mean, use our satellite Lex Thomas's. Again, yeah. You know, you won't have to go out to Monco because we have 10 satellite election offices located all across here in Philadelphia. We'll be open 7 days a week, and you can have your events there. They're well-lit, you know, public places, and, you know, you can talk to a live person, so if you have any questions, again, use us, please use us. And if you have a loved one who is incarcerated, they can still vote while they're incarcerated. If you have a loved one that's in the hospital, we can make sure that the ballot gets to them while they're in the hospital or they're inside a rehab home. So there is no excuse and no reason why someone shouldn't vote. There's no excuse. And so right now we have to take that information and take that power, because that's what the power of the people sacrifice for us. And, you know, Philadelphia was the first place of democracy, and I'll be damned if democracy dies on my watch. So I'm here as long as I'm able to you. Website is votevote.phila.gov, votevote.phila.gov, and our phone number is 215-686-VOTE, 215-686-VOTE.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Barbara Arwine, you get to close it out.
Hey, folks, if your vote didn't count, why are they working so hard to get rid of it? Why are they doing everything they can, spending millions of dollars? They spent $5 billion in 2020 just to confuse people about, voting, telling people they didn't need to vote. All this madness, folks, you know, your vote is that powerful, it's that beautiful, it's that strong when you use it. And the more people you get to use it, tell them, this year we're going to get those knees off our necks. Everybody fussing about gas, you better be telling them, honey, if you don't like the gas, I need to see you voting. If they tell you, I don't have a job, I can't find a job, you say, there's a problem with that. You need to be voting. When they tell you about prices of groceries, by rent, all this is too high, you got to say, you need to be voting. And then they say, but what does that have to do with it? Then you tell them how it all relates. Folks, we are the front line of this battle in this time. We are the Fannie Lou Hamers. We are the Harriet Tubman. We are the game changers. The power is in our hands to make the difference. So you get on there and you make sure that you're calling that 202-224-3121 number saying no to the Save Act. Because that's what Martin Luther King would have done. That's what John Lewis would have done. That's what Fannie Lou Hamer, Ella Baker. Oh, that's what Cato, Octavius Cato would have done. Everybody, this is our time. And in our time, we can be the difference. Thank you so much.
You're dialing. Thank you, Barbara Armwine. That website for the Transformative Justice Coalition is tjcoalition.org. tjcoalition.org. The message is to vote to the United States Senators, is to vote no on the SAVE Act. Vote no on the SAVE Act. I'm going to say it three times. Vote no on the SAVE Act. You're dialing 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. That way you can get to our two U.S. Pennsylvania U.S. senators, and you can get to any U.S. senator in the country by dialing that number. It is a toll-free phone call, people. It is a toll-free phone call. They are trying to snatch away our rights to vote. We cannot let them have it. We cannot let them have it. 202-224-3121. Vote no on the SAVE Act. And the other way you can best show your opposition to the SAVE Act is to affirmatively go out and vote on May 19th. By your voting on May 19th, you are sending a message to these people that you value your right to vote, that it is important to you, and that we don't want anyone to snatch it. This has been a great conversation. I'd like to thank all three of our guests for joining us this evening. And this will not be our last conversation on voting. Thank you for participating in our telephone town hall conversation, to those who listened in, and to those who asked questions and gave us suggestions. If you didn't have a chance to ask a question, just stay on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777. That's our phone number, and you know our office is right here in Winfield, 54th and Woodbine Avenue. But just visit my website, senatorhughes.com, and learn all about the wonderful things that we're doing here in the 7th Senatorial District. Thank you, everybody. Have a great evening, and vote, V-O-T-E, because as Chairman Jaber would say, the more you vote, the more you get. Thanks, everybody. Take care.